well. But Leslie's been reading the book A Year of Marvellous Ways by Sarah Winman. Now, we do this once a month. It's my sort of excuse for a book club on air, and supported by Suffolk Library's Catherine Lana, who's a reader, writer, works with Browser's Bookshop, so knows her books loads and loads, has her own website as well, is sort of looking after it for us. A bit of an onerous task, isn't it? It's very cheeky of me. Yeah, I fancy having a book club. Will you run it, Catherine, is what I say to her. You chose this book because I was away from halls, and so you came up with this. So have you enjoyed it?
Well, I enjoyed it very much, yes. I didn't know much about this author or the book before choosing it. I'd just been introduced to the author by a publisher who said, you must read this book. And I thought, oh dear, there's so many books on my to-read pile. But I did pick it up, and I just thought it was amazing, really magical. And I read the first few chapters really quickly for to talk to this publisher about the author, and then had to put it aside. So this was a good excuse to pick the book up again. So I did recommend it, only having read half or a third of the book, which was a bit of a risk for me.
Yeah, but it's for me, because I have only just read some of it now as well, because coming back and so on. But it is, although it's not a typical book, it isn't a difficult book to read, is it?
No, but it's quite... it's quite confusing if you try to take it too literally, because they describe it as magical realism, which I'm not quite sure about the term, really, except that I think you can pick and choose what you believe in and what you don't believe in. I'll tell you a little bit about it. So the story is set on the bank of a creek in Cornwall, and it's in 1947. And we meet this elderly lady. She's 89 years old, and life's been full of disappointments. And she's just waiting for something to happen. She doesn't know what it is, but she's waiting for something. And her name is Marvellous Ways. So she's the Marvellous Ways that we're talking about from the title. And then she meets this young man called Francis Drake, also an unusual name.
I love the names, isn't it? Francis Drake.
And he's come back from war, and he's come to Cornwall to deliver a letter to a grieving father. And the father's son was a soldier who died on the battlefield. And Francis Drake has survived the war, but he's got his own demons to confront. He never knew his father. His mother died when he was a child, and the woman that he loved was swept out into a river before him. So he's just full of grief. And he looks to Marvellous Ways to help him get through if he's going to sort of put his life back in order. So that's the main premise. It's that relationship between the two of them and how they heal each other, really. And that's what's so amazing about it. It's an elderly lady and a young man, and they're telling each other the stories of their lives, and they're caring for each other in a very compassionate, platonic way. But it's set in Cornwall, which is the West Country on the coast, edge of land, and it's full of mysticism and myths and legends.
And it's almost told as if it is a fairy story. Do you see that?
Yes.
That's how I feel as I read it, that it's almost as if someone was sitting telling you a story, sort of like a story time thing.
Yes.
And that's how the book feels to me.
It's the power of storytelling generally, yeah. I think. And I think the author was quite aware of that. She was an actress. She was doing okay, but she felt she was never going to hit the big time. And she suddenly decided she wanted to write. Her first book was called When God Was a Rabbit, and did very well. And this was the second one. And her dream is to tell stories. That's what she's about. And that's what she wanted to convey in this book, is the power of storytelling, and to heal, to inspire, to excite, I suppose. And that's what I feel we get from this book. Whichever way you go into it, whichever page you start off with, I think you can get something from it. It's full of little wisdom, little truisms.
So is it one of those books you're going to go back one day and read it again, you'll still get more out of it? It's
well,
a bit
I think
like a picture
so.
Which has lots of little things in it.
Yes.
That if you sit and stare at it, you see different things.
Well, that's right. There are so many little gems, beautiful descriptions, but also these little wisdoms that Marvellous tells Francis or other characters tell each other, things they've learnt on life, things they're observing. And I think that you can. Each time you pick it up, you're likely to read something like that anew.
Marks out of 10.
Oh,
I know
I
you
don't
hate
like
Dover.
Doing that.
It just gives people an idea as to whether you
really
rate it or
yes. Any. I'm going to say 8.5 to 9.
Well, that for you is huge. It's huge. Well, tell you about our next book. We have got some comments coming through about that. So the book we've read, A Year of Marvellous Ways by Sarah Winman. If you haven't read it, still plenty of time to read it. I know Suffolk Libraries have got copies and so on. Tell you what we're going to be reading in the next month, and I will read this one. I'm going to get it onto my e-reader tonight so that I get it all done before we chat next time. Catherine Lana with us. We're talking Leslie's Readers, so the book that we've been reading together. It's sort of like our on-air book group. We get support from Suffolk Libraries. Catherine does all of the hard work. She is doing some work with Suffolk Libraries, and we'll talk about that in just a minute or two, because exciting news about their book festival. But I've had a comment from Hannah to say that she's read the book. So talking about A Year of Marvellous Ways. It's a great name, isn't it? Marvellous Ways. So Hannah says, I've read it. It's great. I love the magical realism that Sarah Winman uses. I'm like you. I'm still not sure what that exactly means. It's a bit like modern artwork, isn't it, as well, and modern contemporary dance. But she says it's a joy to read and the perfect holiday book, especially if you're heading to Cornwall, which would be good, wouldn't it?
It would. But I think that we can relate to it in Suffolk as well, because we're sort of on the edge of land and we've got a lot of history and stories that, you know, passed down to people. So I think that we can all identify
very
with this
similar
story.
Yeah. Very similar, yeah, as well. And you've had a comment?
Yeah, I've got a comment from Jane, who comes from Woodbridge, and she said that she read the book and very much enjoyed it. She said it was rather fey and magical, but the characters were three-dimensional, real and engaging. I thought the strands of the story were woven together effectively. I also enjoyed the Cornish setting. It was very atmospheric. And I think that's quite an interesting point about the characters being three-dimensional and also being woven together effectively, because sometimes when you read a book that's got lots of different perspectives, one can be stronger than another, or you can take you can feel more empathy towards one character than another. And this one, I felt that every element of the book was strong, and that's again why I think you'd pick it up again and find something new from it, because you'd come to it from a different perspective each time you picked up the book. So I think that each part of the book is really, really strong.
I'll tell you what I thought when I finished it.
Okay.
If I tell you that I read Galbraith's Cormoran Strike third book while I was on holiday, which is J.K. Rowling's Alias, isn't it? Which I quite like.
I like the first one. I haven't read the others yet.
See, there we go, which I quite enjoyed as well.
Yeah.